are the same. The brain or the gray matter is where we store our information. But the key is the spirit and soul, the heart of man, the mind. And so let's look at a few verses here. Put a marker there in Philippians chapter 2. But notice, if you would, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 6. And now watch this. You have to stay with me now. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the world as a whole, they're considered, you know, dead and dying, right? They don't have the new birth. They're not born from above. They're just existing. But the idea is that those who are saved, the Bible says they have life and they have peace. I don't know how, why in the world anyone would want to stay lost when God offers life and peace. And I have a real purpose. I have an everlasting purpose. I have an eternal purpose. And not only do I have that, I have peace. I don't live a double life. I don't walk around fretting. I don't walk around worried. I mean, I've been through it all. But I just have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And notice, if you would, verse 7, the Bible says, because a carnal mind is enmity against God, it's neither subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's why man speaks about reformation, reforming. But God doesn't speak that way. He speaks about a new birth. You've got to be born again. Now, the world says, oh, we've got to be reformed. We've got to change our ways. Well, and that's good. You smoke, you want to give up smoking. You drink, you want to give up drinking. And you're taking drugs, you want to give up drugs. That's fine. But that doesn't give you eternal life. You know, that's still, you still have a problem with God. You're an enmity. You're an enemy of God. And so God doesn't want you that way. And then he says to us in verse 13, For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. So there's an insight about our flesh. So what do we need to do? We need to mortify it. We need to kill it. And that's really what the word means. Mortify means kill it. So Paul is saying here that if you live after the flesh, if you're going to live a flesh life, you're going to die. There's going to be not only physical death, but there's spiritual death, right? There's separation from God. But God tells us if we live after the Spirit and do mortify the deeds of flesh, see, that's a sure sign of salvation, that you're working on mortifying the deeds of the flesh, that you're working on, you know, you're separating in your body from the world. And that's important to understand. And hang on a second. Hang on. It's warm in here. Time out. Time out. Just came out of laundromat. All right, here we go. So the idea is that we want to be spiritually minded. And what happens? When a person gets saved, they start working on the outward. They start working on their flesh, that fleshly nature. So we see the potential once we have salvation, once we turn to the Lord from our sin while serving and living the true God, the potential to think right about the mind of Christ. Now notice, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice, if you would, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. The Bible says, for who have known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him. But, and you want to underline this, but we have the mind of Christ. Not that we can pray for the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So the idea is that when we... been made partakers of the divine nature. You understand that? The scriptures teach that we're made partakers of the divine nature. Once we receive the engrafted word, which it was once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, once we repent, once we turn to God from our sins, we then are made partakers of the divine nature. And the Bible says once you're saved, you have the mind of Christ, the new nature, the spiritual nature. And that's important that we understand that. And so we see the potential that we have, and then the practice. We are to live right. No excuses. You say, well, I'm not in church on a regular basis. I'm watching through sermon audio. So what? You have the divine nature. If you have the Holy Spirit, you'll be living right. You're not watching wrong programs on TV, not be watching wrong movies. You're not be listening to wrong music. Why? If you've been made a partaker of the divine nature, you ought to live right. So once you receive the Spirit, which you do in salvation, we need to walk in the Spirit. The unsaved, the unregenerate mind does not have a Spirit and is incapable of, you know, living right or doing right. They're rather capable of doing wrong. Now, consider that the Way of Life Encyclopedia says this about the unsaved mind. The Bible says it's evil affected mind. It could be a reprobate mind. It has vanity in the mind, Ephesians 4:17, a fleshly mind. It's a corrupt mind. It's a defiled mind in Titus chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 6. So the devil blinds the minds of those who do not believe. Some minds have been corrupted by the simplicity in Christ. So the mind is powerful. Our decision-making process is powerful. And if you choose not to be saved, there are effects. And what effects? It could be reprobation. Could be defiling of your mind. You put pornography in front of your heart and mind. You're looking at it. It's going to defile you. So these are things that take place. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. He created all things. He knows us. And he warns us in our word about the mind. Now, some minds have been corrupted by simplicity in Christ. The mind of the unsaved is challenged. And notice, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, God tells us in his word, he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Paul is saying here in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what are strongholds? Those thoughts, imagination that rise against the knowledge of God. It's idolatry. It's a false teaching. It's false doctrine. And when we have these imaginations that arise, we've got to cast them down, beloved. We're not to dwell on them. We're not to think about them. We're to cast them down against those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And we need to bring in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice Isaiah chapter 55, please. Isaiah 55. We pick up here in verse 7, and the Bible tells us, hang on, verse 7 of chapter 55, right? He said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So if you're sitting there this morning, and you say, well, preacher, I want to be saved, I want to believe, I want to turn to Christ, and so on, and yet you have thoughts that are not based on the Bible, they're false. They're not true. It's not what the Word of God says. And that's why you have to forsake your thoughts. You have to forsake your ways. Why? Because they're going to damn your soul. You say, well, this is what I really feel this. Is it found in the Bible? No. It's wrong. That's all there is to it. It's wrong. Just because, you see, you become an idol worshiper. And God tells us at the end of 1 John 5, keep yourselves from idols. God's people have got to be careful. We can have idols in our life, but the Bible says the lost have the idols. And what is an idolater? Someone who has false thoughts about God, he says, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God he will be abundantly pardoned. So again, God goes on and says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And so, the lost can, live their lives with idolatrous thoughts, thinking that, I can't be saved. Now, let me ask you this. Where does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say that in the Word of God? You can't be saved. God says, whosoever will. God says, he loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. God says in Hebrews chapter 2 that he loves us and wants to save us. I mean, where do you find that God doesn't want to save you? Where's that in the Bible? That's idolatry. You need to cast that down. Any thoughts that go against the Scripture, they're idolatrous thoughts. We need to cast them down. So that's not the mind of Christ. Now, let's look at a few thoughts this morning about the mind of Christ. First of all, it speaks of a conscious decision back here in chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's turn there. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And God says in his word, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us this is a conscious decision. So the idea is that it speaks of a choice, a conscious decision. Let. So we can choose idolatry or false teaching or how I feel and not choose what the Word of God says. And that's what we need to do. And that's why God tells us over and over again in his word, we need to renew our minds. Why? The carnal mind, the fleshy mind is against God. So we need to renew our minds. And he does so again. We've got to let, we've got to allow the mind of Christ to dominate us. So how does this happen? Well, first of all, this through salvation. It begins salvation in Christ. As mentioned in salvation, we receive the new nature. When we're born again, when we're regenerated, when we're converted, when we're born from above, you receive a new birth. And the question we have to ask ourselves, have you received a new birth? Have you been born again? Have you been born from above? Did what happen in your life? Was that supernatural or superficial? See, if it's not supernatural, it's superficial. It was a profession. But I'm talking about conversion. I'm talking about being born from above. Does your life prove it? Is it a reformation? Or is it was it easy? Or did you have to repent? Did you have to turn to God from your sin? That's what God says we need to do. And there are people who are in our church. They hear every sermon. They tithe. They whatever. They're lost. They've never been born from above. They've never been converted. They have the old nature. They mind the things of the flesh. Now, they do it in a spiritual sense, but it's still the fleshy nature is there, and they're serving their flesh. They're doing kind of like both, God's will and their will, but they're not really doing God's will. Why? They've never been saved. So, the idea is that, you need to have a clear-cut conversion. You need to be born from above. You need to repent of your sin. Some of you have morphed into salvation, and it's not a sound. The Bible says, choose you this day. Salvation is a choice. You've got to choose this day to be saved, this day to be converted, this day to be born from above, this day to be born again. You've got to choose it. And through God speaking to your heart, your repentance and faith in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone, you'll be saved. But the idea is that you've got to choose. Now, the God says it's scriptural. And the idea is that there's a converted lifestyle. There's a changed life. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you mature in the Lord? Are you being conformed to the image of Christ? Again, it's in deed and in word. The idea that there's a real change in your life. And not only is this scriptural, but it's spiritual. Notice back here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And God says in his word, Paul says, I am crucified. Now, he's already crucified. When was he crucified? When did Paul die to self? At the moment of salvation. Again, we use the term the salvation, the death blow to self. And that's one thing we see when people are saved. They start conforming. They still have self in their life. They have put that off, put on the new man. Some people, have problem with pride and issues and so on. But the longer they're saved, the less that's going to be. And so we want to see that. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ living in me, the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the idea is that Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And my life I live by the faith of the Son of God, by the Word of God. I live by what the Bible says, not what religion says or what this church says, but rather what the Bible says. Amen? And that's what we want. And so then we see not only Paul's crucified and he lives by the word of God, but turn with me to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and we see sanctification. The Bible says in Ephesians about renewing the mind. That's important, beloved. How do you renew the mind? The mind is corrupt, but it's once we're born again, we have the mind of Christ. And so we've got to renew that mind. And you renew it by praying and by reading. Now, if you just pray all the time, you don't read, you're not going to renew your mind. You've got to renew your mind. And what does that mean? You're putting in God's word into your heart and mind so that, you're thinking, you're living, you're conforming to the image of Christ. Notice chapter 12 of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Again, if you've been saved, you understand what Paul's been speaking here from chapter 1 to chapter 12 about God's mercy. And what's God's mercy? That he saved us. He desired to see Jew and Gentiles converted. They're all into sin. There's none that doeth good. There's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. They have all gone out of the way to become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And so we see that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we see the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So it's my responsibility, it's your responsibility as a child of God to present your body. To who? To God. And you're to be a living sacrifice. Now, the Old Testament, they were filled with dead sacrifices, right? They gave bullocks and rams and sheep and so on, and they were sacrificed. They were all dead. But we're to be living sacrifices. So one of the first things that people see is, do I take care of myself? Right? I'm a testimony. Am I a living sacrifice? Do I bring my body into subjection? Do I bring my body down? Do I say, no, you're not going to eat that way, you're not going to live that way, you're not going to do those things and so on? Do I have control? Is the Spirit of God controlling my life? That's the mind of Christ. And then God goes on and says here, an acceptable unto God. So how do we know if it's acceptable? By lining our lives up with the world, with the Word. It's not to line up with the world. It's align itself with the Word of God. So my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I got to be careful what I put in it. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to take drugs. If I'm a child of God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, overeat. I'm going to bring my body into subjection. I need to make sure it's acceptable unto the Lord. And God goes on, which is your reasonable service. In other words, beloved, it's the least that we can do for God. The least. Not the most, it's the least. It's reasonable. Then he says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. See, that's a thing I look for in a person's life. Are they being conformed to the world? Or are they being transformed by the renewing of their mind? And don't tell me, I'm just a worldly Christian. We're going to deal with that in just a moment. So we need to make sure that we're renewing our minds, our soul, our heart. And that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, that's what God wants. He wants us to, again, renew our minds. Why? That we may prove was that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. That's what God does. And what's the key to all this? Renewing our minds. The mind of Christ. And so, again, we see that Christ's demeanor, the mind of Christ, the Bible says, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we see our conformity. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. I want to go back here and notice Paul says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" No one knows the mind of the Lord, but we have the mind of Christ. We can have a Christian mind, so we have the Christ mind. And so we need to conform to the image of Christ. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus live? You say, well, I'm just going by my culture. Hey, throw the culture away. I mean that. You say, well, I'm a Hispanic. Miguel's sitting right in front of me. So I'm a Hispanic. Or I'm Italian. Or I'm black. And I'm whatever. Hey, that's not number one. Number one is the mind of Christ, that I might be conformed to His mindset and do His will. That's what it's about. It's not about white man. It's about Christ. Awful quiet in here. All right, notice Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. And notice what God's Word says here. In Romans 8 and verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what does Jesus say here? He said, we're going to be predestined to what? To be saved? No. But rather, once we're saved, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Again, that's what's necessary. So we need to grow in the Lord. We need to become like Jesus. Notice Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And God's Word says in chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship. Whose workmanship? I'm the workmanship of Christ Jesus. Unto what? Good works. I'm made in the image of Christ to good works. What did Jesus do? He went around doing good. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this has been all set in motion before the foundation of the world. When someone comes to Christ, They're going to walk the way God wants them to walk. They're going to live the way God wants them to. God's going to give them the mind of Christ. So that's our conformity. This is a decree of God. This will take place when one receives the gift of eternal life. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going to happen. It's predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. Now let's go back to see our challenge in Philippians chapter 2. And notice, if you would, verse 2 of chapter 2. And the Bible says, "Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, be of one accord, of one mind." Now, let me just say this, beloved. This is what God wants from his church. We're to be one-minded. Concerning what? Concerning the doctrine. Concerning the practice. We're to be the same. Culture has nothing to do with it. We're to be the same in our doctrine and practice. Period. And if you're not, there's something bad wrong with you. Now notice, if you would, verse 3, please. Let what? Nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. So that's the attitude that we're to have one to another. We're to esteem others better than ourselves. I mean, I go off on that, but the idea that, well, you know, I'm not good, and hey, we all have our gifts and abilities. We don't have to think more highly than ourselves than we should, but God says think soberly. And then notice, if you would, verse 5. God goes on and says, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." Now the challenge is the flesh. Turn with me back here, Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. And we only have about 18 minutes left, and I'm going to try to get this done. But I really want to get involved with it. If we have to go over, we'll go over. Don't worry about it. You're not going anywhere, are you? Neither am I. So anyway, chapter 5, verse 17, watch this. "Now the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." So there's a battle within the spiritual side of man and this fleshly side. This is for saved people now. And the Bible says these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You say, "Well, preacher, I wanted to get up this morning. I want to read my Bible. And I didn't do it. Why didn't I?" Because you allowed yourself to be distracted. You follow that little shiny thing. "Oh, what was that?" And next thing you know, you're off doing this and you didn't read your Bible. So it takes discipline. A disciple is someone who's disciplined. And look, I've had to learn this throughout my life of being disciplined. But God says here in his word that there's a battle that takes place in our lives. And God goes on and tells us here a little bit further in Romans chapter 7. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 7. And notice verse 22. Now, we're going to get a little deep here, so stay with me. Chapter 22. "And I delight in the law of God after the inward man." What was he saying? The saved man, the saved person in my life, he desires the law of God. Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members." And that's what goes on. There's a battle that takes place. And we've got to learn to conquer this. How do you do it? Word of God. You've got to get in the book. You got to be in the book. You got to memorize the book. You got to meditate in the book. You got to be in the book. Verse 24, Paul goes on and says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." That's it. Now, look, I appreciate kind words said to me, but I know me. I'm a wretched man. But notice he goes on and says here, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin." Doesn't mean that, oh, I can't help myself, I'm in the flesh. And No. But Paul is saying the body, the flesh, is where we're going to serve sin. But we want to serve the Lord with the new mind, the mind of Christ, which he's given us. and the mind should have power over the body. The mind should have power over the body. The Bible teaches us we cannot live a lascivious lifestyle. If we've been born from above, we've been born again, our mind can have control of our body. We're not done. We've got to keep going. Notice chapter 8 and verse 6. Chapter 8, verse 6. Now watch this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We went over that before. You know, the Bible tells us that the carnal mind is death. There's no life from above. There's no conversion. The carnal mind, the fleshly life is death. How many times I've heard people say, you know, I want to try this, I want to do this, I want to be involved with this, I want to give this a shot, and I found that's it. That's what it was. The Bible teaches that the spiritual life is life and peace. It's more meaningful. Why do people take their lives? Because the carnal life is death. And some people are weaker than others, and they just decide that this is what it's all about. I remember years ago, as a young man, I heard about Freddie Prinze, who was a funny comic. He was one of the funniest guys. He had a TV show, and he was just a funny guy. And he said, I got to the top. I thought that was going to be the ultimate. And he said, this is it. It's empty. He wound up taking his life. But there was a choice he had to make. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And here's the life Jesus. Jesus said, I come to give you life. And life more abundant. I say, well, preacher, I wish I had your life. My life? My life is like anyone else's life, but I have life from above. Because I know the Spirit of God. I know I've been regenerated. I know I've been made alive. And God has made my life with more meaning. Just like he's done for every saved person. Every saved person. So we have a life that's from above. Now notice he goes on and says here in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, neither need can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're in the flesh, you're at enmity with God. If you're carnal, you're at enmity with God. Now God goes on and says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It shall be the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10. And if in Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For you live after the flesh, he's another reminder from God. You shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God tells us the key to Christian life is the mortification of our lives. Dying to self and living to God. And we're to have victory in our life. God promises that. Now, in verse 6, God tells us that the carnal mind is dead. It brings death. The spiritual mind is life and peace. Why wouldn't you want life and peace? Oh, wait. You want the life that you want, and you want peace from that. You're not getting it. You sit around all you want. They did this back in the 60s and 70s with TM and transcendental meditation. And I meditate every day and so on. You meditate. You know what you're doing? You're putting things off from receiving God's Spirit and salvation in Christ. You can be in TM all you want, but you still have to face your problems. Amen. So let's go a little further. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, the mind of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, and we pick up here in verse 20. And notice the Bible says in verse 20, watch this now, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See, the way the world is corrupt. And we're to put these things off. Stay with me. This is the carnal nature that abides in us. I know Romans chapter 8, that's speaking about you're either saved or lost. You either have the spirit or you're in the flesh. But Paul is speaking about this carnal nature that we need to put off in our lives. And he goes on and says, he said, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the bottom line. The blessed man is, he said, his meditation is the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. His mind is on God. He said, well, I have to go to work. I have to, you know, if you're saved, you'll be thinking about God while you're working. Amen. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God has created righteousness and true holiness. What is it creating? Righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The righteousness of God. Living right, doing right, being right. And he says true holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Don't lie about your salvation. Come clean. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So lots of times when we're tempted, what are we doing? Giving place to the devil. Say, I'm not going to do it, but I just want to look. Oh, well, surprise, surprise. The devil's going to be right there. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. So why should we work? Well, we want to take care of our family. We want to take care of the church. But we want to help those who are in need. That's the reason. And why? Because it helps us give. It shall be given unto us. Let no man, no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that for the use of good to the use of edifying, that you may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you seal until the day of redemption. So that's the key. All this stuff is speaking about grieving the Holy Spirit. And grieving is an emotional term. It speaks about sorrow. You don't want to cause the Spirit of God to have sorrow in our lives. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be a kind one to another and tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, I'm fine until I get around that person. Well, there you go. We're separated right now. But the issue is when we come back together, there should be no bitterness, no anger, no clamor. You know, you run into somebody and you say, oh, that's the person I had issues. You shouldn't have issues. They need to be made right with God. And then God goes on and says here in verse 32, and be a kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then notice Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. We speak about the mind of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, and we see it in verse 5. God goes on and starts off with, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on children in disobedience. If you're lost, God's wrath is coming for you. That's all there's to it. The Bible says you're in the wrath of God, John 3, verse 36. The Bible says you're condemned already. And verse 7, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now you've put off all these things. If you've been born again, Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing they put off the old man with his deeds. You're not to live that way. And you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge of after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, Gentile or Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, lowliness. Who's that speaking of? Jesus Christ. He went about doing good. He was kind. He was thoughtful. He was genuine. What he was, you saw. Verse 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even as any man caught against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be thankful. So this is Christianity 101. This is a work of the Spirit in the believer's life. The Lord working in them for what purpose? To make us holy and pleasing to God. And third of all, we see the Christian duty. And he says back here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let. We already have the mind of Christ. Now we must exercise it. And again, you have the mind of Christ. You've got to work it out. The Bible says work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. Work it out. You've got to exercise your mind, not your body. I mean, it's all right. You can exercise. But you've got to work out your spiritual side. And our responsibility is God's Word. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So what do you have to do? The Word of God's got to dwell in you what? Richly. You've got to have it so that if you have any pressure on you, that what comes forth is the Word of God. Is that true of you? Oh, no, I am. Well, get busy. Build your wealth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and what? Knowledge, doctrine, belief. And God says in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Psalm 1, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. Again, not in the Word of God, but prayer. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In Ephesians 6:18, I pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Number three, spiritual living. The fullness of the Spirit. The fullness of Christ. The fullness of God. We need to experience these things. When? During a revival meeting? No! Every day. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. If you're not filled with God's Spirit, you need to be. In other words, you're yielding to God and asking God to control you. Control your flesh, control your spirit, your soul. Do you have the power of God in your life? Do you pray for this? Do you know the leadership of the Spirit in your life? Do you know that you're a child of God? I mean, this is the beginning of understanding the mind of Christ. And again, if you don't have the mind of Christ, you abide in death. There's going to be physical death and then spiritual death. You're separated from God. But you don't have to be. I'm telling you right now, you don't have to be. You know why? Because God's Word tells us. You don't have to be. You can be saved right now. You just bow your head and admit to God what you are. That you're lost. You don't know him. And you turn to God from your idols. You turn to God from your sin. With the intent of serving the living true God. God will save your soul. You got to have repentance and faith. You got Jesus in Philippians chapter, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 8, I think it is, where the Bible says to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy household. I think that's chapter 16. That's what God said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy household. That's it. God wants you to know him. God wants us to save you. God wants you to be born from above. If you don't have this, you can't. It's yours for the taking. But it's yours while God is speaking to you. Because you never know what the day may bring forth. You may die. The rapture may take place. You know, you may be left behind, and then there'll be no hope for you. So while you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You need to come to him. You got to believe him. You got to receive him. And you'll be saved. All right. So we'll see you in about an hour. Thank you so much for your time. I trust you'll think about these things I said. And, you know, ask you a question. What am I doing about the mind of Christ? And we'll continue. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this time. Thank you, Father, for those who've listened. I pray you bless the preaching that was done, and Father, have your will in our lives. We pray that we'd be more Christ-like and godly and holy and separated unto you. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.